Scotland's history is a tapestry woven with the threads of changing capitals and political dynamics. While Edinburgh is the contemporary capital, it hasn't always held this esteemed position. Centuries ago, the heart of Scottish power beat in the region of Perth, with the seats of authority shifting between Scone and Perth during the early medieval periods. This rotation was a reflection of Scotland's evolving political landscape, where power was centred in the monarch's chosen residence. However, the chapter that solidified Edinburgh's status as the enduring capital began in 1437. It was during this pivotal moment that power moved from Perth to the more defensible Edinburgh. This marked a significant departure from the previous practice of moving the capital based on royal preference. Before this transformative shift, Edinburgh occupied a more modest role in Scotland's political theatre as just a royal residence. Its transformation into a permanent capital heralded an era of stability and growth, setting the stage for Edinburgh to become the vibrant and influential capital that we know today. This historical journey exemplifies the ever-evolving nature of Scotland's identity, as reflected in its capital cities throughout the ages. Before Edinburgh held power, the capital moved from place to place, and during the First War of Independence, Edward Longshanks established the ancient city of Perth as his capital. Prior to this, Scone was the seat of power, with it also being the site of the location where Scotland's monarchs were crowned. Perth was the last capital of Scotland before moving to Edinburgh between 1406 and 1437. And it was with the assassination of King James I in Perth that finally led to Edinburgh being established as the nation's capital. The assassination of King James I of Scotland in 1437 remains a chilling chapter in Scottish history. A group of disaffected nobles led by Sir Robert Graham plotted against the king, who had sought to assert royal authority and curb the power of the nobility. On a fateful night in February, they breached the walls of the Carthusian Priory in Perth, where James I was residing. Bursting into his chamber, they subjected the monarch to a brutal and fatal attack, ending his life with multiple stab wounds. This regicide plunged Scotland into a period of political turmoil, as James's young son, who would become James II, was left to ascend the throne while the nobles jockeyed for power. Along with political and historical intrigue, Perth also has a long history of the less tangible type. Stories of fairies, water spirits and hauntings have persisted throughout this region for as long as people have lived there. Perhaps the most compelling haunting took place in the 19th century in Balechin House, near Grantully, around 25 miles northwest of Perth. Balechin House was originally constructed in the early 19th century, around 1806. It was designed by the renowned Scottish architect Robert Smirke for the Stuart family, who'd built and owned the manor house on the property prior. The house was built in the period Georgian style and set within some beautiful gardens. In this episode, we explore the story of Balechin House, once dubbed the most haunted house in Scotland. In 1834, Major Robert Stewart inherited Balechin, and while serving abroad in the Indian Army, he rented the sprawling manor. After dutifully serving in India, where he earned a battle scar in the form of a leg wound that forever altered his stride, the Major continued to dedicate himself to his military career for an additional 25 years. Upon his well-deserved retirement, he made the return to his cherished ancestral residence, Balechin House. His time in India had forever altered his outlook on life. He became a lover of dogs and brought many home with him to Scotland. He also became a believer in reincarnation, specifically the ability of the human soul to inhabit a non-human body after death. His belief in this was so strong that his wish upon his death was that his spirit would return to occupy his favourite dog, a beautiful black spaniel. The Major led a rather solitary life during his later years, with his sole companion being a young servant named Sarah. Unfortunately, tragedy struck in 1873, when Sarah passed away suddenly and under mysterious circumstances, leaving the Major to live out his days in solitude until his own passing in 1876 at the age of 70. As he had never married, Balechin House eventually passed into the ownership of his nephew, John. However, John strongly opposed his uncle's dying wish of having his faithful dog continue to live in the house, and he took a drastic and disturbing measure. Prior to moving in with his family, John ordered the execution of his uncle's loyal companions. This cruel act would later prove to be the catalyst for the haunting that would plague Balechin House. Shortly after this horrifying incident, the manor house was plunged into a series of bizarre occurrences. Unexplained knocking and rapping sounds reverberated through the walls and empty rooms, even after thorough investigation confirmed that no one else was present. To make matters eerier, the dead of night often resonated with the echoes of heated arguments, despite every member of the household being accounted for. On occasion, the terrifying sound of an explosion was heard echoing through the house, horrifying everyone who heard it. John's wife reported being in what was the Major's study one day when she encountered the overpowering and unmistakable smell of dogs, and at the same time, she felt a dog brush against her legs as if walking by her. Events became so frequent and so unsettling that the governess and maids wouldn't stay in the house and had to work in pairs. John was even compelled to build a new wing onto the house to move his family into, as they also struggled to stay in the main house. The heart of the haunting centred on the main bedroom, the very room where Sarah, the Major's sole companion, had met her mysterious and untimely demise. In 1895, John found himself in this very room, engrossed in a telephone conversation with his agent about an upcoming trip to London. However, their exchange was abruptly halted by three thunderous and inexplicable bangs that seemed to resonate from some supernatural source. Soon John departed for London, and shortly after his arrival, tragedy struck. As he made his way from King's Cross Station, crossing a busy street, a passing cab collided with him, killing him instantly. Those aware of the eerie incident with the bangs couldn't help but view it as an ominous harbinger of doom. During the Victorian era, spiritualism had gained immense popularity throughout Britain, and it wasn't long before the spine-tingling tales of Balechin House permeated the collective consciousness of the time. The house swiftly garnered notoriety for the series of haunting incidents that unfolded within its walls. Visitors and locals alike couldn't resist discussing the mysterious occurrences, which added a layer of fascination and apprehension to this already enigmatic residence. As stories of apparitions, inexplicable sounds, and unsettling events continued to circulate, Balechin House became an emblem of the era's fascination with the supernatural, cementing its place in the annals of Victorian ghost lore. In 1892, Father Hayden, a Jesuit priest, was invited to spend two nights in the old manor while journeying through Scotland. After a pleasant evening of dinner and company upon his arrival, he retired to his bed late that night, expecting a peaceful rest. However, his slumber was abruptly shattered by a cacophony of unsettling sounds, animal-like noises, mournful wails, and inexplicable knocks reverberating through the walls. The disturbances left him so unnerved that at the break of dawn, he promptly requested a room change, eager to distance himself from the disquieting commotion. The priest's experiences with Balechin House were not limited to his initial encounter. A year later, his path serendipitously crossed with the former governess, who'd served within the property for a 12-year period. Coincidentally, this former employee also chose to stay in the very same two rooms that had been the epicentre of the unsettling events that troubled the priest during his earlier visit. As she shared her own experiences, a pattern of eerily similar phenomena began to emerge. She too recounted hearing those same inexplicable noises, the sounds of animals, mournful wails, and mysterious knocks echoing through the ancient walls. Her experiences scared her so much that she soon ended her employment with the family and left the area, moving far away from Bellechan House. 4 years later, a hopeful young family eagerly signed the rental agreement for Bellechan House, envisioning it as their tranquil abode for the upcoming year. Little did they know that their stay would soon be marred by a resurgence of the poltergeist-like activity that had tormented previous occupants. Soon after moving in, the family found themselves immersed in the unsettling world of Bellechan House. The most common paranormal occurrences took the form of disconcerting noises. Mysterious knocks, thumps, and echoing footsteps reverberated through the ancient halls, becoming an almost daily ordeal. However, one night would etch the most terrifying memory into their minds. As the parents slumbered peacefully in their bed, a tremendous thud jolted them awake. To their sheer horror, their bedsheets were forcibly ripped off the bed by unseen hands, an experience that sent shivers down their spines. Regularly, a white, misty form would be witnessed moving silently from room to room. Yet the most chilling encounter occurred when their children reported witnessing the apparition of a man. This spectral figure stood silently, casting an eerie gaze upon them from the shadowy corner of the bedroom. And this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Overwhelmed by the relentless onslaught of unexplained events, the family chose to vacate the premises. Their stay in Bellechan was abruptly cut short after enduring just 11 harrowing weeks. A year later, in 1897, Bellechan House became the focal point of an extensive investigation orchestrated by John Crichton Stuart, the 3rd Marquess of Bute, in collaboration with paranormal researchers from the Society for Psychical Research, the SPR. This stately home had earned itself the reputation as the most haunted house in Scotland, drawing eerie parallels with the Borley Rectory haunting, even including claims of a ghostly nun's apparition. Among the investigators, the team featured a Colonel Taylor and the infamous medium Ada Goodrich Freer, sometimes more colourfully referred to as Miss X. The investigation invited along a total of 35 guests who all stayed at least one night in the house. None of the guests were given any prior knowledge of the events and were invited to record any unusual activity they may have experienced during their time in the stately home. As with previous encounters, guests often reported audible phenomena as the main experience, with sighs, raps, footsteps, and even the sound of what someone took to be a priest praying out loud. A disembodied hand was seen at the foot of one of the guests' beds, holding a crucifix. Perhaps, most unusually, a figure described as a hunchback was witnessed slowly walking up the main staircase. A spectral black spaniel was seen, and noises like that of dog tails wagging and striking a door were also witnessed. One evening, as a guest slept, she was woken by the sound of a ghostly hound whimpering in her room. She lit a candle and saw the famous spaniel's disembodied paws perched on top of her dresser. During the investigation, the staff were also not immune to the ghostly goings-on, and a maid reported seeing the top half of the apparition of a woman seemingly suspended in mid-air. Ouija board sessions formed a central part of the investigation, and it was during one evening's session that the investigators received a mysterious message. They were instructed to venture to a nearby glen later that very night. Intrigued and somewhat apprehensive, they complied with the otherworldly directive. As they arrived at the remote glen, an unsettling sight unfolded before their eyes. A spectral figure, unmistakably resembling a nun, was slowly traversing the landscape. The apparition's appearance was striking. She appeared youthful, her long, dark hair cascading like a shroud. Onlookers reported that she often displayed signs of distress, with tears streaming down her pale countenance. At times, she appeared to engage in silent discourse with an unseen presence, heightening the mystique around her. This recurring encounter with a sorrowful apparition intensified the sense of intrigue and unease among the investigators. They were left grappling with an unsettling question. Who was this ghostly nun, and what lingering connection did she hold to the enigmatic history of Bleken House? The findings of their inquiry culminated in the publication of The Alleged Haunting of B House in 1899, which was serialised in the Times. This work contained a comprehensive journal, meticulously maintained by Freer, documenting the spectral phenomena they encountered. As the years passed, Bleken House fell into disuse and disrepair, ultimately becoming uninhabited by 1932. Tragedy struck in 1963 when a devastating fire ravaged the majority of the structure. Sadly, this blaze consumed not only architectural splendours, but also priceless artwork and furniture amassed over generations by the Stuart family. Although largely forgotten about now, in the realm of Scotland's haunted history, Bleken earned its reputation as Scotland's most haunted house for undeniable reasons. Almost every type of phenomena was recorded there by multiple independent witnesses throughout its short existence. I can't help but wonder if a character like Harry Price had been around at the time of the hauntings, would Bleken be more prominent in modern culture, as Borley Rectory is today? Perhaps the most unsettling aspect of this haunting is the enigma surrounding its origin. The haunting may very well have been instigated by the audacious request of the former owner, Major Stuart, his dying wish that he be reincarnated into his favourite spaniel, and the cruel slaughter of his beloved hound by his nephew. This may very well have been the violent catalyst for the events that unfolded. Or could it have been the untimely and mysterious death of Sarah, the Major's only companion? Whatever the trigger, Bleken House remains a place where the past and the paranormal intertwine, and its reputation as Scotland's most haunted house continues to capture the imaginations of those who dare to delve into its haunting mysteries.